Well, hello there and welcome. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And of course, you are the key person in the mix here on EWTN Radio. I am Jerry Usher coming to you from Pope St. John the 23rd National Seminary in Weston, Massachusetts, along with Debbie Giorgiani. Michael McCall is the show producer today. Always does a great job. We've got other members of the show team. Matt Gabinski is on the phones. Rich Jesse is on social media today, saying hello to all of you watching on the social media platforms. Hey, Deb.
Hello, Jerry. Do you know you're giving a lot of attention to the seminary right outside of Boston? I think it's Weston, Massachusetts, because I am actually on a pledge drive right now hosting Annunciation Radio. And somebody asked me about this seminary that you were highlighting on Take Two.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so it's getting a lot of recognition. I love that for late vocations, correct?
Yeah, it's for typically men between 30 and 60 or a little bit older than that. Mm-hmm. And so any men who are listening right now, if you feel in your heart, you're going, man, I kind of think that I'd like to be a priest, but you know, at my age, is that possible? Well,
it
could very well be. Just go to psjs.edu and find our phone number. Give us a call.
That's cool. Are you like the unofficial marketer for the seminary? Is that what you...
Or official. I'm not really
or
sure.
Or official.
I'll have
there,
to talk
there
to the
go.
Rector about that.
Yeah. So, okay. So, Jerry, this is so exciting. I actually pitched this to some of the folks that were calling in for the pledge drive. And by the way, there's still fall pledge drives happening all around the country. So if your local Catholic radio station is coming to you saying, please, we are listener-supported Catholic radio, please give generously. It's so important to have Catholic radio going strong into the future. I do have my St. Michael hat on that Tony from Kerrville, Texas had custom made for us, Jerry, and it's always helps to keep St. Michael around when you're doing pledge drives to make sure the technology is protected because the demons don't like pledge drives, and that means we have to focus even more and raise more money for Catholic radio, and please don't forget EWTN. But today, Jerry, I actually pitched this to some of the priests and some of the folks that were calling into the pledge drive, and it's a question we're asking the Take Two family, and I'm so excited about this because I think we're going to learn a lot today. It's what is your earliest childhood memory? Your earliest childhood memory. I had a couple of priests talk about when they were driving tractors on the farm when they were very young, and that's what they remember. It was really cool what we learned from earliest childhood memories. So the number to dial is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Very good. Yeah, I remember my first childhood memory. I'll be happy to share that here in just a moment. But we are looking for those phone lines to be filled up at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Your earliest childhood memory could go all the way back. You could remember emerging from your mother's womb. You know, it's probably not likely that many people remember that, but it could be, you know, a birthday celebration. Maybe it was a particular gift you got for Christmas when you were a little child. Maybe it was when you first went off to school. Could be anything. We're just talking about earliest childhood memories here on the program today. It's your show, and as we always say, what you share could and will impact other people who are listening right now. Maybe get them thinking about this, and perhaps they'll think of something to say, you know what, Lord, I'm really grateful for that memory that I have of my early childhood. So here's the number again, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
So they're saying that earliest memories can form around age 2 or 3 years old. So we're going way back, guys. We're going way back. Yes. And Jerry, I love topics like this. So if you can go all the way back to 3 years old, 4 years old, your earliest childhood memories, I think it would be so fascinating to share with the Take Two family. All you have to do is call in. Matt is willing, able, and ready to answer your call at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. My earliest childhood memory, I do remember being about 2 or 3. Now, maybe I would think that some of my siblings would say that it's because I've watched home movies and that's why I remember it. But I actually remember singing and dancing constantly. I loved music. and I just loved to dance. And I remember just dancing all around. Like I was a really strange kid, but but I remember that. But now of course, don't you think sometimes movies, like the old home movies, that can really enhance the thought of it and the memory of it, even though you really maybe didn't even have, you know, you don't really recall it. Did you have home movies? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know where all of them went, you know. Nowadays, you know, I had a friend who sent me some CDs the other day, and I thought, well, thank you so much, but I don't really have a place to play them. I don't have a CD player anymore. Yeah, compact discs.
You don't have a CD player anymore?
No, they don't come out in cars anymore, and it's hard. I don't have a CD player anymore, but I was
grateful
for
the gift. Maybe you can get one cheaply at Walgreens. I'll get it for you for Christmas, Jerry.
Will you? Okay.
Okay.
Well, that just spoiled that surprise.
You probably can get it really cheap at Walgreens or something, because if it's, right? I mean, that's hilarious. So somebody just sent you CDs? That's so nice.
Yeah, it was very nice. I thought I was very grateful for that.
Yeah.
So I'll have to, you know, return the favor by finding a CD player and listening to them. So
true,
I'll do that.
True. But home movies may kind of inspire some early memories.
It could, yeah. Well, a lot of people obviously want to share because they're already on the line. We just have a couple of phone lines open here. What is your earliest childhood memory at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986? You make the show what it is each and every day. A couple of things that came to my mind real quick. One was not so memorable
pleasant. Me too.
Yeah, it was when I was young. I was born with club feet, and I had to go into the hospital a couple times for surgeries or corrective procedures. And I remember one time being there and seeing my parents leave, you know, and seeing them walk out of the hospital. They had to leave because I had to stay there and get the procedure done. Ooh. That was very, very, it was traumatic.
Traumatic.
For me, actually.
I was going to say traumatic.
But the other one is for me is when my dad put a swing set. I lived in Seattle. We lived in Seattle, so it rained all the time. So he put a swing set in the basement. And I said to him, Daddy, where are you going to put the grass? I expected how you are with fathers can do anything. And
that's
I thought,
right.
Dad, surely you can put some grass here with our swing set. So anyway.
That's so sweet. How innocent. I love that. You're right. Anyway, it is. We want to remember our memories and our parents. It's so important. I love this topic. One open phone line here at Take 2, 833-288-EWTN. Early childhood memories, 833-288-3986.
Well, we're underway here on a Thursday of Take 2 with Jerry and Debbie and you. And there are a lot of you on the phones right now. Just a line open if you'd like it. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. What do you remember, go all the way back, your earliest childhood memory? It might be more than one thing. I shared a couple a moment ago, but we'll get to your call starting with Tom in just a minute. I just have to tell you, first of all, that if you have the TuneIn app, you can listen to the EWTN radio live stream. Just go to TuneIn and search for EWTN, and you'll find us.
And before we get to Tom, I just wanted to share another memory that I had a little bit older. I was about, I think, 4 or 5. And my mother asked if I wanted to go to my grandmother's wake and funeral. And I remember walking up to the casket, and it was the first dead body I saw at a young age. I wasn't even scared. I mean, it was actually, I remember touching her, and I wasn't that scared. I'm kind of wondering, does anyone else have those kinds of early childhood memories, and were they traumatic for you? It wasn't traumatic for me. I actually was quite comfortable. Although afterwards I did ask my mother like why she wasn't waking up. So that, you know, but that's, I think that's an obvious statement from a little kid. But so let's hear from you. Maybe your first wake or funeral that you went to at an early age, 833-288-EWTN. Again, that's 833-288-3986. We're still chuckling about Jerry sharing about the swing set being put in his yard at a young age when he asked his dad, you know.
In the basement.
The basement. Oh, I thought it was a yard. It was in the basement. You asked your dad.
Basement of the house. Yeah.
And you asked your dad for grass underneath. in the basement. Oh, yeah. That's so sweet. How innocent. Yeah, that's so beautiful. I mean, we love stories like this, and let's share those memories together. So let's hear what Tom has to say in Illinois on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Tom. You are first up here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Welcome.
Good morning, folks. I hope you're staying warm and dry. Anyway, I've got serious reservations about whether this memory of mine is going to actually help anybody, because it was a very, very frightening one. Mm. My first childhood memory was the Cuban Missile Crisis. Ooh. At the time, we lived in Northwest Indiana, right next door to Chicago. There was a massive oil refinery where my father worked for 37 years, and he was the fire marshal there when they had the big fire in August of 1955, a few months after I was born. And it was a huge steel mill about 3 miles away where my uncle worked. Now, it doesn't take a target, a geopolitical genius to figure that's a prime target area. Well, if you ever saw the motion picture 13 Days that starred Bruce Greenwood, Bill Smith-Putovich, and Kevin Costner, it's based on Robert F. Kennedy's memoirs about that time. And you talk about a political science fiction horror story. My father was underwater demolition team predecessor of the SEALs in the Pacific years before. This nightmare in October of 1962 was the only time I saw my father absolutely frightened out of his wits. Because he had two young sons, me and my younger brother Rick. We were barely toddlers, and his oldest son Jim was just graduated high school and was going off to Purdue, and it looked like at any moment the whole world could disappear in a raging radioactive firestorm. Now again, I'm not quite sure how this is going to build up anybody's faith. I mean, thank the good Lord that cooler heads prevailed back then, and the doomsday clock was only 15 minutes away from midnight. Nowadays, it's 90 seconds away from midnight. Mm. And you know, Jerry, that I used to live and work in Seattle, and I supported some weapons systems programs, some conventional and some not. And I know what some of these things can do. So I know that's a really rough and dark early childhood memory to have. But again, praise the good Lord that nobody did anything really stupid, although we came a few times it came real, real knife edge close.
Very close. Yeah, absolutely. Wow, that's a powerful memory to have from your early childhood, kind of getting your life started off with, you know, the potential of the world almost going to a nuclear war. Thank God that was averted. Peaceful resolution came about, you know, through the, you know, the Soviet Union agreeing to remove its missiles and the U.S. agreeing not to invade Cuba. But yeah, Debbie, this is, you know, when we have these kinds of memories, this is something that would definitely stay with you all your life.
I would agree. And I would think that it would have some lasting effects into adulthood. And, you know, it's very interesting when children, you know, it's out of their control, right? And they don't know what's going to happen. And they're relying on their parents and the news to keep the temperature down, to keep everything calm. It's interesting. I would just be curious real quickly, Tom, did you take any of that kind of fear and anxiety and kind of the unknown into your adulthood? I'm just curious.
Plenty of times.
Yeah, see, these childhood things really do impact us. They really do. Tom, you know, I mean, not every childhood memory is a positive one. We know that. I mean, I actually I'm not going to share one that I had when I was 4 years old. It wasn't very positive. And so I'll tell you, but it's interesting how it does carry into our adult life, and it does affect our spiritual life at times. Tom, thank you so much for sharing from your heart and being so real and honest with us of what you experienced at a young age. Jerry, this is why we do shows like this, so we can understand that we all go through things that we can relate, you know, with each other, and we're not alone. I mean, all of us have carried into our adult lives these things that we've brought in from our childhood.
That's for sure. Tom, yeah, thanks again, Tom. We've got full lines here, so we're going to get to all of your calls here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. It reminds me, when my parents were away one day, we had a babysitter, and there was an earthquake while we were living in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And I remember the babysitter taking us all out onto the front porch and just started praying, probably praying the rosary, Hail Marys, things like that. So that was another one of those unsettling memories that I have from my childhood as well. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're talking about today on the program. What's your earliest childhood memory? We'll hear from Jim next in Madison, South Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Hello, Jim. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi there. Go right ahead.
My earliest childhood remembrance is, just a second, I get the phone off. Okay, you there now?
Yes, we are. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Jim.
Go ahead there, Jim. You with us?
Hello, are you there now?
Yep,
yes,
can you hear us, Jim?
Jim.
Okay, let's have Matt check back in with Jim. Don't hang up, Jim.
Yeah, don't hang up, Jim. We want to hear your story. It's talking about a loss in your family, it seems like, from the notes here. So we do want to hear that. In the meantime, what do you say, Jerry? We'll get to Shelley in Massachusetts on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Shelley.
Hi.
How are you, Shelley?
You go right ahead.
Good. So my earliest memory, a little pretense. I was 5 years old when this happened. My father left when I was 3 and a half. Shortly after that, my mother was institutionalized. She had a nervous breakdown, all the kids and everything. So me and my siblings were all separated to different family houses. So, and that lasted for over a year, at least one round of holidays. And so when my mother came back and we were able to go back to our house, I was laying in bed one day, again, I was 5 years old, and afraid what was going to happen if it happened again. Mm-hmm. Where did my father go? What do I do? And then in my head, at that night, I'm in my bed, and because I couldn't sleep, in my head I heard, I am your father.
Mm.
I am your father. You have a father. Mm. I will never leave you. I love you. And I will protect you. And I knew it was God because I grew up Catholic. And I just knew it was. And I woke up. I wasn't asleep, really. I was awake. And then I just went to sleep and just felt like, okay, I'm never going to be alone. Mm-hmm. God is my father. I don't have to have a father. I have a father. It's God.
Wow, Shelley. You were so blessed by that experience, because we encounter people all the time who have gone through life with what we call sometimes a father wound. If a father who was left, that happened to me. I mean, it took me, really, I would say, until I was probably 60, even this past summer at a summer assignment that I went to as a seminarian, God continued the healing process within me and revealed himself more deeply as my Abba, my daddy. But God did you a beautiful favor and most likely spared you from, you know, a lot of those wonderings as you go through life, especially as kids. You know, when we're kids, if something happens to us, we think, well, this is going to happen again. Like you said, Shelley, you're like, when is my mom going to be gone again? And when is the family going to be torn apart again? So God did you a beautiful, beautiful favor, and it'll give you a lovely gift there by showing you himself as your father at that time in your life. That was powerful.
I was just going to share the same thing, Shelley. I agree. God gave you a beautiful gift to give you that reassurance during a very difficult and could be very, a long-lasting, painful time, but God gave you that comfort that you have held on to, and I think that just goes to show what a gracious God we have. Any final thoughts, Shelley?
It has carried me through my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. God is so good. He shows up at just the perfect time. He really does. He's an amazing God. Shelley, thank you so much for sharing with us today on these earliest childhood memories. And we're going to get back to Jim, Jerry. Jim, we got him back from Madison, South Dakota on Real Presence Radio. Oh, Jim, we're so glad we got you back. Welcome again.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Jim. Go right ahead.
I'm going to go back to, I was 4 years old, and my sister was in first grade. She passed away. And at the time, well, back then, the casket was in the house, and I can remember exactly the clothes, the dress she had on, and it was just before Christmas, and she had her doll that was she was getting for Christmas laying beside her there, and I don't remember the funeral, don't remember ever going to the cemetery, but I do remember her laying there in that casket, and then with my older brother, and I think I had a younger sister, yes, I did at that time, we kneeling there and we were praying the rosary.
Mm. Oh, how powerful. Jim, yeah, Jim, can we ask you, and not to be nosy, but like she was only in first grade. Was it an illness or an accident?
Yeah, she had spinal meningitis.
Oh.
So, yeah, she was, for many years, the burning of incense would bring back those memories. Mm. There's something about that. I don't bother me now, but for many years when I'd smell those incense, I don't know, there's something about it. I didn't like it. Shouldn't say it that way, but that bring back, and I don't know if I had bad memories because I'm not sure. In my mind, I really knew what was all happening there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you were little. You were little, though, that it had to be so hard.
4 years old, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I sit back and I just admire my parents. Of course, you don't remember any of this, but how strong they had to be to bury, their daughter and stuff, you know. But I do remember she had her room in the house, and that was that for many years. That was Mary's room, and the closet and everything stayed as is, and we were not allowed to go in there. And then later on, I had sisters that occupied that bedroom, but it had to be very traumatic for my parents to have to go through that, you know. And like I say, I can remember it, but that's past about all I can say about it.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we put Mary in the prayer book, Jim, and your whole family, because for them to keep a room, obviously going through that grief and bereavement and the sadness and sorrow, and it took a long time. I mean, parents are, you know this, parents are never supposed to bury their children, so it's very hard on parents, yeah.
And then right before Christmas, Christmas Eve is when she passed away.
Oh, my. Ooh,
that can take some of the Mary out of Christmas, that's for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and I remember, back then you didn't ask questions as your little kids, and parents sometimes didn't talk about stuff like they maybe should have. But, you know, I remember Christmas was there, but was never for many years very joyous. And then I had an aunt one time told me that she said, "Do you remember when your sister passed away?" And I said, "I don't know the exact day." Well, she said it was Christmas Eve. And then, of course, that put everything into perspective a lot.
Right, right.
Well, and Jim, you mentioned, you know, how strong your parents had to be going through that, but they had to be strong for you kids as well. Mm-hmm. And like you said, maybe they didn't talk about it as candidly as maybe they should have, or we don't know. I mean, God only knows that. But they've got your young and impressionable and vulnerable little hearts to kind of safeguard at that stage in your life as well. So. God bless you all as a family for going through that, Jim. And as Debbie said, we've got Mary and all of you in our prayer book.
Yep, and like I say, back then the caskets are still in the house. I mean, I remember that so vividly, how that right where it's at.
That would stay with you. Definitely, that would stay with you.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Ooh, that was a heavy one, Jim, but we feel so honored that you shared it with us, and we appreciate it. The Take Two family takes all of these stories very seriously, and we learn and we grow and we share together. We laugh together and we cry together, right, Jerry?
Amen. Jim, thank you so much, brother. Have a blessed upcoming Thanksgiving and a beautiful holiday season with your loved ones. We hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you for the call. We've got many others that we're going to get to. Jan and Joe and Matt is busy screening other lines. Couple lines are open, though. It's your show, Take Two, with Jerry and Debbie and you. And we're asking you today, what is your earliest childhood memory? Could be a difficult one, like a couple have been shared here on the program today. It could be a really happy one. But go back in your memory bank and check and see if you've got a memory from early in your childhood you'd like to share it. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Don't go anywhere.
About your earliest childhood memories today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We do appreciate all the participation. Believe it or not, we have one open phone line. So if you are feeling that tug in your spirit and you want to share an early memory, please do it with us. We are family. 833-288-EWTN. Again, that's 833-288-3986. We're going to get to Jan in just a moment. Jan, hang on. Don't go anywhere. Just want to do a shout out and congratulations to another EWTN radio partner, WLHN 95.3 FM. Serving Brandenburg, Kentucky, is celebrating 11 years with us this week. Congratulations to Rodney Pickering and his team at Meade County Catholic Radio from your friends here at EWTN.
Very good. Right before, if I can just slip one other thing in here before we go to Jan. I have gotten hundreds of email prayer intentions in the last several days. I mentioned that I'm taking a little bit of a pilgrimage over our Thanksgiving break from the seminary starting next Tuesday through Sunday. I'm going to go to Montreal, my first time ever at the Oratory of St. Joseph, where we'll pray to St. Joseph for your intentions and St. André Bessette, who was the founder of the oratory. I'll visit the tomb of St. Kateri Tekakwitha and maybe go to St. Anne de Beaupre. So I'm going to make a pilgrimage out of it, and I'd be very honored to take your prayer intentions. If you haven't yet emailed me, you can do so at seminaryjerry@gmail.com. seminaryjerry@gmail.com. It's amazing, Debbie, how many people, a lot of suffering, a lot of very heavy prayer intentions coming in, but some really happy ones as well too. So I'm happy to take them all with me on that pilgrimage. So,
and you're also taking the intentions of the Take Two Family Prayer Book as well. So, and the Jerry and Debbie Facebook page, and any other way you want to reach us. So Jerry's taking it all. It's going to be a very heavy pilgrimage.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Let's go back. Yeah, back to your calls. Jan in Lafayette, Louisiana, listening today on Christ Our King Radio. Hi, Jan.
Good morning, Jerry and Debbie.
Hi,
Jan.
I love your show. And my phone is echoing. Sorry about that. I'm really thrilled that I get a chance to call in today with my first earliest memory. So if you're ready, I'll tell you about it.
We are.
When I was young, I always had this recurrent scene playing in my head that I walked into this church. It was just a small church with a couple of people, and they were playing music. And for the longest time, I didn't know if it was real or not or something that I imagined. Until one day at a dinner table or a social event, my parents started talking about one night when my mom was bathing her two children, myself and my sibling, and she had a knock at the door, and it was company. So she proceeded to show her company into the living room and entertain them for a minute. And the next knock on her door was the lady from the church next door holding a naked little two-year-old girl because she had walked into their church to listen to their music. Evidently, they were practicing for an Easter service or something. So my memory was confirmed.
Is that right?
Wow. What a beautiful memory.
It was fun. And you don't know that it's real until it's spoken. And I to this day, I was 2 years old, and it's just such a fun memory. I can't tell you if they were playing the organ or the flute or the violin. I just know it was the music that drew me in. And it was like an awe moment. I just, aww, it's vivid. It was an awe moment. It really was.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Has music been important, a part of your life, all of your life, Jan?
Yes. When we were young, my dad would play music on the stereo. We grew up singing and harmonizing. My brother and I sung together. And when I was old enough to join the youth choir at our church, I joined the youth choir. As an adult, I led the youth choir at my parish, and now I'm singing in my parish choir along with a different parish choir because the music is so beautiful and I enjoy taking part in it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so it's been a part of my life forever.
Well, and God's given you a tremendous gift, Jan, and you're giving a gift to the church, to the people who listen to you and your other choir members as well. So keep it up. God bless you.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Absolutely. When you sing, you pray twice. So that's what we do.
That's right. St. Augustine. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing your memory with us, Jan. We so appreciate it. You put beautiful smiles on our faces. So thank you, Jan. God bless you. And your kind words as well. We love you back.
Yes.
So beautiful. Okay, we're going to go to Joe. Joe is in Wisconsin, Jerry, and Joe's waiting so patiently, wanting to share his memory. Hi, Joe.
This is Joe.
Yes, Joe. Welcome to the program.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine.
Call. This is a strange call. My earliest memory is I was a baby on my mother's lap, believe it or not. plus one and a half, 2 years old, I could sense my mother thinking or doing something. My mother had a tremendously stressful life along with my father. And she was thinking, and I could tell, and she made up her mind. She had a problem. She was going to solve it. And the way she was going to solve it was that she was going to cut me off from all affection, from hugs and kisses. And she did.
Oh.
I had no hugs and kisses. And as I was for all my life till I was older. And I, too, had a strange life. But in honor of her and my father who lived through this and who came through it and who I'm sure my mother and father are in heaven. Anyway, so to have no hugs, no kisses from your mother. She fed me, but there was other stressful things in my life too. And I had a very strange, and I have a very strange life now because of it, but a wonderful life. Painful, painful, but a wonderful life because of her strange thing. It wasn't a good thing she did, but it was a great, wonderful thing, a great gift to me and my whole family. Anyway, wow. A mother who was in terrible pain and who did this. No hugs, no kisses, ever. Can you imagine for your child?
Yeah.
And until I was in my 20s, I think I got my first hug from my mother when she was, and she died at an early age. So this is my story, and in honor of my mother and father and their terribly stressful, painful, agonizing life, but ending up happy. And happy is so happy that I'm sure my mother and father are in heaven. All in this call now. But starting out terribly stressful and pain for me and my family.
Mm-hmm.
And now wonderfully, wonderfully ending. So I will say goodbye, but in honor of my mother and father. A memory from being a baby, nursing baby on my mother's lap. There's one for you.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow. That's actually so painful for me to hear, Joe, because I raised two boys, and that just hurts my heart that you went through that at such an early age, that you sensed that. You sensed the emotional disconnect. But you also have grown into the understanding that your mother was obviously in severe pain and dealt with her own issues. And so clearly God has blessed you with this ability to forgive her and to move forward. And then God has graced you, obviously, it sounds like, with a beautiful life. I'm sorry, Joe, that you went through that, because no child should have to feel that, and you felt it at such an early age. But you recognizing that your parents lived a very hard life, I just have to imagine, Joe, that God is going to reward you abundantly, obviously on this side of the veil, but also when you're all done with your time here on earth. I just feel like with your beautiful heart and forgiveness that you're carrying for your parents, God is gonna honor that and bless that, Joe. And so thank you for being the man that you are. But it's still, as a mother, that pains me terribly, Jerry.
No, it pains me too, Joe. And for you to have that sense that was happening at such a young age, it's very, very clear that God, you know, especially the Holy Spirit, was protecting your heart. Mm-hmm. And your guardian angel was definitely and has been with you your entire life. The emotion you just showed a moment ago for your mother and your father shows that you have really turned this into a positive in your life, like you said. You shared how painful it was, and yet what a beautiful life you've had. Joe, how many people can't add that second part of that? They've gone through the similar pains and, you know, the emotional hurt and things like that, and never really bounced back or recovered from that. But you came out in a very good place, so I know you're very grateful to God for that. You still there, Joe? Okay, maybe he's hung up already. But
well, you know, you make a really good point. A lot of people can go through that and they can end up bitter their whole life. But with Joe, it turned out better. You know, he saw it from a whole different angle. And, you know, God bless him. Beautiful soul. And thank you, Joe, for sharing with us. We did have a couple of folks drop off. And if you want to call back, you're welcome to. You still have time. We still have plenty of airtime for this incredible episode. I know it's a heavy one. Listen, you know, Jerry added earlier of all the emails he's getting for the prayer intentions. A lot of people are dealing with a lot of extremely heavy things. We know that. We're all dealing with it. But if we do it together, we can walk together. together, and it can lighten the path and lighten the load a little bit when we're all traveling together as a mystical body of Christ. But that includes your stories. Your stories matter. So if you have your earliest childhood memory, please call it in with us. We'd love to hear it. I've got the prayer book out, so we really want to continue this journey together. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And they don't have to be sad memories. They can be happy memories, like walking into a church or the first time you've ever experienced an event, exciting things. I know that most of us have gone through some pretty sad things. Okay, life, that's just the way life is. It's a roller coaster ride. But we can also share the beautiful memories. Like I remember the first time getting a doll. I remember my parents were always big on having us do cutouts instead of like getting the real doll, you know, like the, you know, a real doll you can play with. They used to like have us use our imagination. And I remember ripping open the Christmas and getting my first doll. And then I cut off all her hair. That wasn't a good thing.
Well, join us on one of those lines that has been freed up at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986, your earliest childhood memory, good or bad or indifferent, and maybe share with how it's shaped you a little bit in your life, 833-288-3986. Okay, Al has been holding patiently in Texas, listening on our friends at the Guadalupe Radio Network. Hello, Al. Thanks for calling in. Al, are you there? Oh, no, not another.
Hello?
Yeah, hello, Al. Yeah, thanks for calling in. Yeah. Welcome.
Did I speak? I thought I spoke to you already today.
You talked to the call screener. Now you're live on the air, so go ahead and share your childhood memory.
Wanted to say my first childhood memory was a slice of liverwurst. And my natural mother passed away when I was around 2 years old. So I was living with my grandmother, and my grandmother would go to the butcher shop quite often, and she'd bring me to the butcher shop with her, and the butcher would always offer me a slice of liverwurst. And I really enjoyed it. And that's my first childhood memory I have as a, I guess I might have been 4 years old at the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, Al, I just have to say, I'm glad you appreciate liverwurst. I couldn't do it. There's something about it. It didn't work for me. But that's awesome that you had that to be something that you remember, and it was a good taste and you enjoyed it. My dad was into sardines when I was little, and I couldn't stand that either. I just couldn't do it. It's funny, the childhood memories with food. That's another great topic, too, that Al's bringing up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I had a babysitter when I was young, forced us to eat sauerkraut. I can't even sniff it now. It's just
I love sauerkraut.
Isn't that amazing?
You don't like sauerkraut? Really? Okay.
No, I don't. I can't eat. I love a lot of other cabbage and a lot of other forms, but...
Interesting.
But Al, you mentioned your mother passing away when you were young. We're so sorry that you experienced that as a child. As you know, Al, from listening to the program, we have our prayer book. I'm sure Debbie has you in the prayer book already for daily prayers. If you'd like to give us your mother's first name, if you want to, we'll put her in the book as well. You don't have to do that if you, God knows who she is, but we'll leave that up to you. What do you think?
My first mother's name was Antoinette.
Okay.
That's my birth mother. And then, when my father remarried, my second mother's Dorothy. So,
Dorothy.
So I guess you could put Antoinette, but the mother I had for the rest of my life was Dorothy. So I have two mothers in a way.
Sure. And,
my mother's name is Dorothy too. So
the second mother I had, I spoke to her every week until she passed away. The many, many years of our life.
Wow. Al, you've been through a lot. And we, again, we're so grateful to you that you shared it with us. And we put everybody in the book and just know that. Thank you so much, sir, for gracing this conversation and sharing your earliest childhood memories. And Joe, if you're still listening in Wisconsin, I put your parents in the prayer book as well. Everybody's in the prayer book. Just know that I put everybody in. Okay, Jerry, we've got more calls, but I know you have some interesting things to share because the conference started today.
Yeah, Amy, hang on. Driving through North Dakota and Margaret and the others, I want to mention, folks, EWTN is your source for anything that is important that we want to bring to you regarding the Catholic faith. And the youth of the United States are gathered in Indianapolis right now, and that is going on at the Indiana Convention Center and Lucas Oil Stadium. They call it NCYC. It's the National Catholic Youth Conference. It's a powerful, unique 3-day experience of prayer, community evangelization, catechesis, service, fellowship, fun, food, you name it. The youth of the United States gather every year for the NCYC. And again, it is in Indianapolis and it is on EWTN radio and television. We are the exclusive multicast partner. They're going to be hearing from Pope Leo XIV tomorrow at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Time. Kids are experiencing some of the best Catholic speakers that we have in the country, liturgy, Eucharist music, artists, concerts. It is just an amazing gathering. I wish I was there.
I'm convincing
myself that I wish I was there right now.
Mm-hmm.
But folks,
agree.
You can be there through EWTN's coverage on radio and television. Again, that's the National Catholic Youth Conference going on until Saturday, I believe. It wraps up Saturday at the Indiana Convention Center and Lucas Oil Stadium. So be sure you listen to EWTN radio and watch EWTN television for its coverage of that wonderful mm-hmm. event.
Okay, and we're going to Amy next, driving through North Dakota on Real Presence Radio. Hi, Amy. Welcome.
Hi, Debbie. Mm-hmm. I know this happened. I was about three, and our house, we had a basement, and it was unfinished, and we had wood stairs, and then it was a concrete floor at the bottom. And I fell down the stairs, and I kind of remember, like, being at the top of the stairs and then just, like, tumbling. Nothing hurt or anything. But I don't remember hitting the bottom. And then I think I remember being at the doctor's office. My mom was a nurse, and so we got right into her doctor that she worked for and getting stitches and just never feeling scared during the whole process and not even really crying about it. Like there's a story that I think I made up this part, but that I only cried one tear out of each eye. But anyway, my mom and dad, we always laugh about that because I still have the scar on my left eyebrow.
You do?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
but you were comforted. So that was good. So it sounds like you were very composed and you handled it so well. You were very brave and very strong. Any residual effects from falling down the stairs at all other than the scar?
Not that I know of. No head injury or anything like that.
Good.
And I probably there was probably a rug at the bottom. My mom was very into rugs. So, it was probably just a bump or whatever, but yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm in my 50s and
yeah, and you're doing well.
So it's all good.
Good. Praise God. You know, I just have to say that must have been so frightening for your family. That had to have been frightening. When you're raising kids and you're taking care of kids or you have nieces or nephews around and they start climbing stairs or they're climbing on something. I mean, it's the first thought as a parent. You're like, oh my goodness, they're gonna fall. It's not good. And so I could just imagine how everybody was so nervous. But you sounded so strong going through it at a young age. It's amazing how resilient little kids are, Amy. So that's pretty cool. That's a testament to your internal strength.
Oh, thank you. I think it was my guardian angel. And my mom is ridiculously strong. And she's 96 years old right now. And
wow.
I'm going into town to see her. But I'm the youngest of seven. So she is a big reason why I have strength, too. Because I bet she was not even super concerned just because I was coherent the whole time. She's a nurse. She's used to crisis being the oldest of 12, like I said. And so anyway, yeah, thank you for that, though. I'm sure they were scared at some point, but she'd been through a lot having, you know, 7 kids.
Wow. And the youngest, well, you know, I love that because I'm the youngest of 6. So the youngest is, I think, the best. But Amy, your 96-year-old mom, give us her first name and tell her we love her, okay? Because you're going to see her. Can you give us her first name?
Sure. It's Karis.
Harris. Okay. Tell her we love her and tell her she's so amazing. And we just love you, Amy, for calling in and sharing with us. And you know, these early memories are very powerful and they do stay with us, Jerry.
Well, they do. I remember one time I had just learned to ride a bike and my sister and I were riding bikes. We were going down a hill on a city street and she was ahead of me. And we got going so fast, I got scared and I didn't know what to do. And I yelled out to her and she goes, "Just coast." And I didn't know what coasting meant, so I ended up going over the handlebars onto the sidewalk. I still have the scar on my chin to prove that. And she was mad because we were going to get ice cream after that, but instead we had to go to the hospital. So she didn't get her ice cream. Amy, so, thanks for the call.
Thanks,
drive
Amy.
Safely and do give your mother our best. Yes. We appreciate you calling in. Tina in New Richmond, Ohio, listening today on the EWTN app is up next. Hello, Tina.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
My memory, I was like 8 years old, and I got very, very sick.
Mm.
Like 105 fever sick.
Wow.
And what happened was my mom, because it was a Sunday, she was a Protestant. She went to church the next day, but she came home. My fever had gone up. She took me to the hospital. They couldn't find what was wrong. They put me in an ice bath and everything.
Mm.
Well, what happened was she had to go home. And during the night, there was a nun that came in. And she covered me up and she gave me a dolly. And she asked if I was okay. I was like, no, I was scared. And she said, she held my hand and said she'd be there until I fell asleep. And she was quietly praying. Well, I woke up and I was all better.
Hmm.
And then they asked if, they told me I was going to go home. I asked about the nun. Where's the nun that came? They said that there was no nun there last night.
Oh. Wow.
And
your guardian angel.
I was like, yes, there was.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yes, there was. She gave me the story. And they looked into it and said there was no nun here. And I was like, there was, though.
Wow.
And that was actually that gave me my first interest in my Catholic.
Mm.
That gave me my first interest in the Catholic Church and everything.
Oh, so you recognized this woman as a nun, but you hadn't been Catholic at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I was only 8 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
What a great story. That should be a book. That should definitely be a book, Tina.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. Wow.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us. We appreciate it. And stories like that, I mean, they just let you, Adam and I do the show, The Spirit World. They really affirm the invisible world, right? When our guardian angels show up and God comforts us in so many ways. And then people say, well, that person wasn't there. And you're like, I know, I saw that person. So it's so beautiful how God works, Jerry.
Indeed. Tina, thank you so much. We're going to get to Katie real quick, driving through Nebraska. Katie is listening to us on Sirius XM 130. Katie, we've got literally 60 seconds. Go for it.
Okay. I just want to preface it by saying that I'm the second of 7 children. My parents gentle parented, and they were the most loving parents, but we were very obedient to whatever they said. And so my Uncle Monty came over one night, and I was 2 or 3 years old, like I said. He wanted me to come into his arms and and I was not having it, but I was torn because I wanted, my parents were coaxing me also. I wanted to do what they wanted me to do. Mm-hmm. So I had to learn some early decision making in those early years. And I did not go to him, and I felt bad about it because my, they all wanted me to, but I was so shy.
Interesting.
But hugging and you know, holding on to relatives, that can be scary. I remember my parents used to force me to hug like aunts and uncles, and I'm like, no, I don't want to. Yeah, exactly. I'm right with you, Katie. Right.
Katie,
right.
Thanks.
Thanks
for sharing with us, Katie. We appreciate that. You hear the music. Time for the program to come to an end here. Again, I'm looking at my seminaryjerry@gmail.com.
It's filling up.
Email. It is. Yeah, emails are coming in, flying in here. You can send me your prayer intentions. I'm going to some holy places, including the Oratory of St. Joseph in Montreal for my Thanksgiving break from seminary. What can I pray for you? SeminaryJerry@gmail.com is where you can send those into. It's been an awesome show. Thanks to you, the Take-Two family, as always. Thanks to the show team. Tomorrow, what does true friendship look like to you?
That's
what we're going to be talking about tomorrow.
Until
then, for Debbie and the show team and everyone at EWTN, I'm Jerry Usher wishing you a beautiful and blessed day. We'll talk to you real soon.